Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production hosted by myself, Johnny DiLoretto, and John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto. We've all been holed up.
Oh, yes.
In our various screening rooms, our personal screening rooms. You know, isolation has got us thinking about movies about isolation, or movies that evoke a feeling of isolation. The one room movie, or the one location movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or the one cockpit.
The one cockpit movie. Now, I ended up not being able to see 7,500.
Right. But, you know, for a guy like you, I think you got the idea.
Yeah, I definitely have the idea. 7,500 just recently came out on Amazon Prime.
I think so.
Is that right? Okay, wherever. It's out there. Look it up. 7,500. Right. Joseph Gordon-Levitt returning to the screen after, what is it, John? Like 4 years the guy's
been
gone.
He's had kids.
Yeah. Interesting, because he was just kind of really coming to his own as a young movie star, starring in Looper and The Dark Knight Rises.
Good ones.
Also doing these little independent movies like 50-50 and, you know.
All right.
Anyway.
He's a favorite of both of ours.
Yeah.
And he doesn't disappoint me in this. I'm hoping you and Summer will get a chance to see it. It's not a great movie,
okay. But
it does exemplify our point today that while I was seduced by movies years ago in the expanse of the West, CinemaScope, VistaVision, and so on.
Right.
Now I can appreciate a very closed environment, tight framing, whatever you want to call it, open, closed,
yeah.
Where you have, in this case, in the airplane, the cockpit is mostly where this film is shown, is done.
The key word, mostly. See, this is where we get the variations of this theme. So it takes place mostly in the cockpit.
Yes.
Terrorists take over the plane, trying to get inside of the cockpit. He's trying to fight them off.
It's almost the reverse of our usual perspective about this, because they have a screen, the pilots have a screen up there where they can see what's happening.
See, I was going to say,
in the fuselage.
Here's one of the tricks filmmakers use to expand the sort of
good one,
the visual palette of a one room movie
excellent.
Is some sort of window in
to
something else that's happening. So going back to one of the great classic one room movies of all time, and a true one room movie, because it never leaves the room, is Rope.
Hitchcock's
movie, which unfolds in one seemingly long take. Really great. It's based on a play about the Leopold and Loeb murders.
Yep.
Jimmy Stewart plays the philosophy professor who kind of figures out slowly that his students have murdered one of their own. I love the movie. I think Jimmy Stewart is great in it. It's got some really interesting vibes going on. There's a little undertones happening.
Well,
that's it, right? That's just that room.
I mean, but for a theater guy, I go from theater to film. I'm loving this. It's like watching a play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the one room.
Exactly. It is a play.
Right.
And he does it as cinematically as possible. The trick Hitchcock does later, which you just brought up, I didn't even think about this, but Rear Window is a one
room. Of course.
Room
you got it.
But this time, he's looking out, right?
Yes.
And because of the windows and seeing into other people's lives, it feels like
it does.
The movie is multi.
And I think he moves down into the courtyard. I could be wrong. I think there's action in there where you're moving from the window, but it's predominantly from his window. Now, what about Locke?
Love Locke. Tom Hardy in a car.
In a car again? Outrageous!
I remember watching it recently. I wanted to catch up on all the Tom Hardy films I had not seen. And Summer, my wife, asked me about 10 minutes in, are we going to never leave the car?
and
you know what? I said, no, but just hang tight. And sure enough, the movement of the car driving, like, it does create a sense that you're not necessarily trapped in there. You know, it does give this the film a sense of movement.
Another example, but not in a room. Confined
for
127 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for me, for a guy who loves Utah and somewhat adventuring like that.
Right.
I mean, he gets caught.
Right. Once he's in there, right?
Yes.
We get a little brief. It's not a true one location movie because we see him in his house, we see him biking and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, okay. Right.
But yeah, once it's in there, he's in
We're
there.
Talking James Franco, right?
James Franco, right. Yeah. What about this one? Going back again, classic, 12 Angry Men.
Oh, good one. Yeah, of course. Another play-like.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it is, of course. And what about, here's one, I've got to ask you this,
because
I barely remember it, but it was 10 years ago.
Okay.
Seems to me classic for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Buried?
Oh, yeah. I had this on my list. I have a few on here that I haven't seen.
Okay.
But Buried, from all accounts that I can, because I have not seen it, it's just Ryan Reynolds in a box.
Yes.
He's in a wooden casket or something, right? Right. And they buried alive with a cell phone and a lighter.
Yes. And I, you know, having brought this subject up for us to discuss, I'm now intrigued about going back to look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Edgar Allan Poe would love it, but who else would love it? This guy in a box?
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is...
What if you would take Wallace Shawn and Andre Gregory and put them in a box? Now, of course, I'm referencing
nuclear.
My Dinner with Andre, the 80s talk fest, with those two guys eating dinner.
Well, what a shame it would be.
Do you remember that movie?
Of course I do. I love it. It's all talk.
Yeah,
God. It's when I first recognized Wallace Shawn. I said, this guy is really great. Well, a shame would be to put her in one place and then put her in outer space. But Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
In Gravity.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a one location movie? Because she changes.
She's
in and out.
Yeah.
Right, she goes from one spaceship to the next spaceship.
You're right.
Spaceship, the generic term, the idiot's term for any vessel carrying a human being in the far reaches of space. Okay, I'll accept it. What about this? What about when you open the location up just a little bit? Let me, because, you know, I like to tell you whether or not the movies that you're offering for any given topic actually suits the topic.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
I love to do
you're
that.
You're usually fleshing
like I say,
me out.
That's not a good, that doesn't
That's right.
count.
That's
I
right.
want you to do this to me. Does Die Hard count as a one location movie?
Because of the building, you mean?
Because he's in one building, because it takes place in one building. Or is the building so sufficiently complex that you don't feel that?
Great point. Aren't there shots, though, from the outside? Mm-hmm. Of the building. So
So you're not in. Yeah, right. Okay. So you're not always in the building.
Always.
As a spectator, yes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Agreed. Not a one location movie.
Here's one that was on a list that I got off the net. I would have never thought. Fences.
Oh, yeah. Never leaves the house.
Never
right?
leaves it. Yeah. I mean, you go out in the back.
Yeah, you're in the street sometimes.
Yeah.
You cross the street
a little bit. It's one location.
One location. Yeah. You see, there are these variations of it, right, that happen. So how about All Is Lost? Redford on a boat.
Oh, Redford. Great one. Why did I think of that one?
Because it's on a boat. See, no one thinks of it.
I know.
I read a bunch of these, like, articles about one location movies. No one talked about All Is Lost. Guy's on a boat the whole time.
Yeah.
Slowly sinking.
Well, ones that I favor, and you've brought up some of them, are these plays adapted for film.
Yeah.
Virginia Woolf, Carnage, where you really have one location, a living room usually, but there is so much exciting conversation and there's movement that you don't have the confinement that you say with Gravity.
Right, right. Even, see, that's interesting because even in Virginia Woolf, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, they do leave the house, they go to that little diner, that little bar, that little
good one. Okay, I forgot
place,
that.
Then come back.
Yeah, you're right.
Then they go outside and inside. But you're right in as much as you feel so kind of trapped by those two people and that you're with them. Like, even if you're moving, even if you're in a different space, if those two people are in a room, you are
good one
trapped.
More recently, Shirley, about Shirley Jackson with Elizabeth Moss,
takes
place in their little house, mostly in their little house. And I guess on our topic, what I really like about our topic is the genius of movie making. That doesn't make us cringe or say, I'm getting out of here because I'm feeling claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
They open up the mind, I guess, is the most important thing on that screen, yeah, rather than just that location.
Right, and it does something interesting psychologically to you, because even though you are confined to a space, you know, and that limits the sort of cinematic variation of shots that you're going to get or scenery that you're going to look at, it really does come down to ultimately the character and story, right? And that is the real challenge. How do you move a story along in a confined space? This is what is interesting to me about Buried, which I haven't seen. But I know the premise is Reynolds wakes up in this casket, and he's been buried alive, and he has a lighter and a cell phone that is slowly dying, right? So
yes,
you've already inserted two things, the source of light, okay, which we need for a movie, because obviously yeah, without light there is yeah, no movie, and the narrative demand of time, right? So the cell phone battery is running out, and that imposes a temporality on the proceedings.
Yes. I guess of all the ones that we've talked about in this show, the one that impresses me the most
yeah,
may be Locke.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With the sheer ingenuity of making that interesting, was essentially one character looking through his window, mm-hmm, through his car window.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the last thing in the world we want to do is look through a car window.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, you're in the car with him.
Yeah.
The other thing that really makes that movie kind of come alive is the voice work from the supporting cast.
Yes.
A lot of great people are lending their voices to Andrew Scott, for one, is one of the guy that he keeps, he's shuffled all his responsibilities onto, that needs to take care of the construction site the next morning. And I think Olivia Colman, is that her name?
Yes, right.
She is the woman who's pregnant.
How do you remember this stuff?
Because I needed to get it. I was like, who are these people? I go, look it up.
I think the most ingenious and perhaps the best produced one of all that mm-hmm, we have here, mm-hmm, Rear Window.
Yeah, but of course, because it brings in all of this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Confinement, the freedom of looking. It's all about looking, too.
Yes, yes.
And in the way, it almost is like, thinking about it this way, is like Hitchcock was solving the problems of Rope with Rear Window.
Good one. And, you know, maybe finally, if our viewers, not our listeners, our viewers mm-hmm, watched carefully, notice the confines here.
Yeah, right.
And notice how exciting we've made it.
Exactly. One shot.
Cinema Classics is sponsored by the Gateway Film Center and is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to shows online at wcbe.org.
If you're interested in supporting this endeavor, please reach out to me at johnnyd@wcbe.org. That's johnnyd@wcbe.org. And that's it